You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Have you ever had someone kind of confronting or maybe just in curiosity say something like this, like, oh, come on, you're not acting like yourself? Or why did you do that? That's not how you were raised, or has anyone ever experienced that? Anyone? A couple weeks ago, I had the joy of traveling to the other side of the world, to Australia and New Zealand, and just to encourage some of you, especially you seniors who got to be a part of the Asbury Outpouring, I was in like literally the furthest you could go. It was very far away, and they still cannot get over the testimonies of what happened in this room. And I know that there's all sorts of relationships or emotions that are connected to that. But I just want to encourage this university, these leaders, these students, that what you got to see and what you got to be a part of is encouraging the entire world. It's not just us trying to puff you up. But when I was there, I was quite insecure because I was traveling with one of my heroes who is really good at preaching. And he would preach, and then I would preach after him, and I became quite intimidated and nervous, and I called a good friend named Kurt Vernon. Some of you guys know who Kurt Vernon is. He's a pastor in town. We have met for the last 9 years, almost every week, to confess sin and pray for each other. You need a friend like Kurt Vernon. And Kurt Vernon heard me out and kindly said, man, what are you talking about? That's not who you are. That's not what you follow. You're trying to impress this guy? The Lord has sent you to flip in New Zealand to preach the gospel, so just go walk in confidence. We need friends like that. And that's ultimately what this letter to the church in the Galatian church is a dear friend, kind of a spiritual big brother, who is writing a letter to a church reminding them, man, that's not what I told you. What do you think? That's not. So, he's talking about three options to the church of Galatia. And I just want to warn you, just pause real quick. When I was praying for this message, I really felt in my heart that this might be, like, really to write this sermon and preach this message like I will never talk to you again. I don't think there's a prophecy that I will be ascending to heaven or dying anytime soon. But just a real gritty, like if there's one more message I could give, at least to the seniors, but everyone, as they go into the summer and to the future, that you need to know that there is simply three options. These three options is you can live for yourself. I bet there's some people in this room that really are just living for themselves. You can try to save yourself, which sadly is, I've done enough work around Christian colleges. There's probably a lot of people that, if you're really honest, it was Jesus plus your performance in doing Christian things, which is ultimately saying you're trying to save yourself. Or the third option, that you could really just surrender and actually live. So we're going to jump all around the book of Galatians to try to convince you to not live for yourself and try to convince you that trying to save yourself will lead you to exhaustion and discouragement. But the best thing you can do today and for the rest of your life, and you probably will have to do it every morning. For me, it's like about 8 or 9 times a day, having to surrender so I could actually live in what God has asked me and given to me. So let me pray real quick, and then we're going to fly through 38 slides. I've never preached 38 slides. And we have about 27 minutes. Just kidding. Probably 22, 21. Jesus, I pray that anything from today would just be a blessing to those who are hearing it, and anything that doesn't glorify you, that is just passion or woo or research, would fall to the ground like dust. But anything from you that would produce fruit in their lives for the advancement of the kingdom, to glorify you and honor your word, specifically in this letter to the church, the Galatian church, I pray that it would find fertile soil in their hearts. But anything from Zach will fall to the ground like dust and be forgotten. All right, so the Church of Galatia. Church of Galatia really if you read the chapter, I listened to it today as I was laying in bed because I woke up with a headache. It really is quite a bold book. It's quite a bold book of a guy named the Apostle Paul, who Apostle Paul is kind of a spiritual big brother. He had helped plant this church, and he is using words like, who cut in on you? Who bewitched you? He even calls them fools. That's like me saying, yo, why are you being so dumb? Like, why are you exhausting yourself on this thing that isn't what I even talked about before? This whole thing is built on the foundation of the cross and its sufficiency, not your hard work. For some apparent reason, something has snuck into this church and convinced you otherwise. And sadly, that's what culture does, right? Sadly, even on a campus like this where you hear the gospel Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and in your classes and from your friends, we can let a little bit of yeast, that language, a little bit of yeast is in Galatians, go into this whole thing and ruin the whole thing. Some of you guys started off this semester. Some of you guys started off your time at Asbury. Some of you guys started off this year. Some of you guys started off on Friday in a good spot. But over the weekend, you just started performing and striving or living for yourself. This is what Paul is saying to this church is, no. Like, that is actually living by your flesh. That's actually still doing what everyone in the world does. And the fruit of that, they have an awful list. It includes quarrels. That doesn't sound that bad, but also includes orgies, which is pretty bad, right? But then it goes into the fruits of the Spirit. It's not coconut. You guys know that song? It's love, joy, peace. You get all that. But this language is so harsh. Paul starts with saying this, Galatians 1:6, I am astonished, say astonished, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. A different gospel might not sound that dangerous, right? At least it has the word gospel in it. But anything other than the true gospel is terribly dangerous. It might have religiously acceptable words. It might slap even some Bible verses on it. But you, as the future leaders, as the students, as the nurses, as the teachers, as the doctors, as the pastors, need to know anything deviated from the main thing, the actual gospel, is quite dangerous. They had started believing that grace was something that we would earn, prove, and that we would have to sustain it. But when Jesus died on the cross, which we're in Holy Week right now, we're literally celebrating these moments. He gave us a grace that we would receive it, walk in it. And I think this is really important for many people. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. I need to remind myself that he would also like me to enjoy it. So there's three options. You can live for yourself, save yourself, or surrender and actually live. The first option, living for yourself. This is ultimately the first 16 years of my life. I lived for myself, painted in religious color because I grew up Jewish. I was a really religious little kid trying to prove myself. But then when my bar mitzvah didn't work out, I just turned towards weed, girls, and soccer. I was living for myself. What's your story? Maybe you know for a fact, even as I'm preaching through your AirPods right now, that you're living for yourself. Living for yourself is like this, that you would be your own God, that I will be whoever I want, I will follow my truth, and I will do what feels good and right. Brennan Manning, who is a tremendous author, if you're looking for something to read once school is over, I would read Ragamuffin Gospel or The Furious Longing of God, or Abba's Child is another book that I listened to on Spotify. Brennan Manning was an alcoholic Catholic who just knew something about God's love and started writing books about it. He wasn't perfect, but he says this, sin is not just breaking the rules, it's building your life on something less than God. Some of you guys are building your life on something way less than God. And the reality is when you live for yourself, you don't become free. You become responsible for everything, and that weight will crush you. Just ask some of your friends. I look at my dad's life, I look at my mom's life, I look at my brother's life, I look at my the barista that I go to, my tattoo artist, I look at how living for themselves has crushed their lives. You're not free. You're responsible. And I serve a God that takes responsibility for me. I would love for you to meet him. I would hate for you to graduate here taking ownership of everything in your life, thus carrying the weight of everything in your life. Does anyone feel heavy today? It will crush you. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. In my language, it could say, come to me, all you who are getting crushed by the responsibilities of everything in this world, and I will give you a light, say light, an easy yoke. I want to speak specifically to my athletes, specifically the men's soccer team, because they were so locked in earlier. They're probably praying in tongues for me. And I want to talk to athletes. Athletes, you are usually trained to take responsibility for everything that happens on the field and at practice, right? We encourage that. If you're not playing and you're not starting, we want you to take responsibility and work harder, lift, diet, whatever it is. Academics. Anyone here take academics super seriously? Yeah, you're in college. Some of you guys need to realize that, yes, in academics, we want you to take responsibility and kill it. If you're in pre-med, work hard, get to the best med school, whatever. You know what I mean? But when it comes to your spiritual life, you need to wear a different hat. You have a Jesus in heaven interceding on your behalf, not talking to you like your coach, not talking to you like a grumpy professor, but a father, friend, and the Holy Spirit's comforting you to not take responsibility for everything, but actually surrender. So, are you tired living for yourself? Option two, I believe that this is probably a majority of people in this room. I'm sorry to say it. I'm sorry to say, but people like places like this is a great place for the spirit of religion to fester. Spirit of religion. Option two is trying to save yourself. Paul or Dr. Sunderland, or he talked about Holy Week. Who here knows what Holy Week is about? It's okay if you don't. When I went to Bible college, I had no clue what Holy Week was. Holy Week is the story and elements of Jesus' life all the way up to his death on the cross and then his resurrection. What do we know about Holy Week? What are some of the things we're going to remember? You can talk back to me. What? Palm Sunday, right? So he's coming in to Jerusalem, and he understands something's happening they don't understand is happening, right? He even stops halfway through the story of Palm Sunday and starts weeping about how terrible Jerusalem is going to be because they didn't get who was walking through his streets. Then we have... He's flipping tables, yep. What? The Passover, yep. And even in the Passover, it's like a foreshadowing to someone, a lamb is going to die to save everyone, right? And then we have Ash Wednesday. We have Good Friday. What's Good Friday about? Doesn't sound that good. It says crucifixion. Guys, do you think he did all these things that we're about to celebrate for you to take up the responsibility and try to save yourself? Do you think he marched in Jerusalem, was beaten and whipped and hung on a cross so you're like, okay, I'll take dibs for some of this? No. That's the gift of the whole thing. It's the gift of the whole thing. I have nothing that I can offer God besides a broken heart and my neediness. But because of the truth of the Holy Week, because of the truth that he died on the cross for my sins, and then he rose again 3 days later, I don't have to try to save myself. So is anyone out there exhausted trying to save themselves? You don't have to raise your hands. We talked already about Galatians 5:9, talking about a little bit of yeast getting into the flour. It's this imagery of this little bit of yeast that catalyzes something to change the makeup of the thing. Some of you guys need to realize that you trying to save yourself, the spirit of religion, you trying to just be a nice guy who doesn't do anything that creepy on the weekends, that is a little bit of yeast of self-sufficiency and self-reliance for your salvation. It's sneaky, it's often discouraging, it's often confusing, it's often defeating. Paul uses this language. He's like, watch out for that little bit of yeast. He speaks even more boldly in Galatians 3:3. He says, are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, you're now trying to finish by means of the flesh? He's like, yo, you had it. You had it before, so what's happening? By means of the flesh, another way you can say is justified by the law. Galatians 5:4 says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ and you have fallen away from grace. Alienated and fallen away. Are those like happy, feel-good Easter words? Could you imagine that on an Easter card? Like, happy Easter, you've been alienated and fallen away. No. But this is a big bro, a spiritual big brother, who's saying, yo, guys, like you had it right. And because you're now trying to live by the law, you're alienated and have fallen away. So some of you guys might be asking right now, so what's the purpose of the law? Has anyone ever wondered that? When you read the whole story of Scripture and you see this unbelievable unfolding of the law, which is ultimately a list of rules. That sounds not very kind and religious, and I probably have preached the message of it's not rules, it's guardrails. And, you know what I mean? Has anyone ever felt that? I was like, okay, but now because of the cross, I don't need the law anymore. There's one verse in Galatians that I think is the greatest untangling of that question. The greatest untangling of that question, and it's Galatians 3:24. It says that the law was a manager, a tutor, a legal custodian, or in my language, a nanny. Some people in this room, I don't know if they're here right now because they might be heathens, but that's a joke. I've missed chapel before too. Asbury students have been my daughter's nannies. I think we've had nannies from Asbury for the last 7-8 years. The nanny is not in charge of Eden and Mercy, my daughters. But they are taking care of my daughters until the one who's in charge comes. Does that make sense? And they can correct them and they can kind of guide them, but they're not actually the one who is in charge. I love this image of the law. The law is like guardrails. They were a legal custodian until Jesus showed up, a nanny until Jesus showed up. You guys with me? Another illustration of the purpose of the law is this. Anyone know what this is? What's this? It's a broken arm. What is the thing that let us know that that's broken? That's a pre-med student. No, it's an x-ray. An x-ray. You know that? Cheers to you. You're probably going to go to Harvard. Do they have med school? I don't know. I went to Bible college, so I don't know. This is an x-ray. So imagine I go to Coach Ben, and I'm like, I can't play, my leg hurts. And he's like, let's go get an x-ray. And I go get an x-ray, my arm hurts, to just fit this illustration. My arm hurts. And they're like, okay, oh wow, it really is broken. And imagine if I just had the x-ray, I'm like, it's broken, and I don't do anything else. Maybe I grab the x-ray and I rub it on my broken arm, I'm like, okay. No, the x-ray just reveals where I'm broken. It reveals what's wrong. But you need to put in a cast. You got to maybe have surgery. You got to do things to put it back together. So many of you who are living by the law, or so many of you who have rejected all of this because the law just feels like an x-ray and doesn't have power. If you live only by the law, it's like having an x-ray and rubbing it on your wounds. An x-ray reveals something that you then need the cross and the Holy Spirit to fix. This is so brutal. This is just like straight up. This is Paul's words though, so it's so bold and clear. It says, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God. That's straight up. Or in my language, clearly no one who's just like has an x-ray of their brokenness is actually justified before God. I want to be justified before God. When I get to heaven and he sees me, I want him to say, not guilty because of the work on the cross. Jesus will bust into the throne room and say, this is my friend, I got him, and I'll just go through. Because I'm not justified by the law, I'm justified by Jesus. This kind of life says I need to do better, I need to earn this, and I cannot mess this up. So you perform, compare, and pretend. Does any of this relate? Have you had a semester of performing, comparing, and pretending? Has your relationship with older siblings who have it all together, who love the Lord, or teammates that seem to be just, they're playing well, and they love the Lord, and coach seems to like, oh, those guys on the floor, they do Bible study, and they never get in trouble, or whatever. Are you sick of performing, comparing, and pretending? The reality is Asbury, like any Christian university or college, church culture, or just the overall Christian culture, just follow some people on Instagram and feel this. This does stir this sort of life up, right? But we're not called to live a religious life trying to save ourselves. And the reality is living this way is religion. And religion is trying to save yourself while quoting and flexing Bible verses. Anyone relate? There's so many times that I slip into this religious lifestyle, but man, I can flex some Bible verses. I can quote some good Christian authors. I can repost J.P. Pakluta or Jenny Allen or Philip Anthony Mitchell. You know what I mean? Like, it's all just a cold, distant religion, but not really living inside my life, like an inner fire. This feels maybe too salty, too pointed, but I feel like if this is the last time I get to talk to, especially the seniors, I want to say this. Some of you guys are not far from God because you're rebellious. You're far from God because you're exhausted trying to impress and prove to him that you deserve it. There's probably people in this room that are far from God because you're being a punk. And honestly, out of most people in the room, I'm probably the most like, awesome, I'm glad you're here. Let's go get a burger. You're a welcome guest here. Maybe you'd give your life to Christ today or by the end of the semester and stop living so much in rebellion. But I believe that there's many people in this room that feel very far from God because you're exhausted trying to impress and prove to him. We're in Holy Week, y'all. He doesn't need you. Because he's going to do it. He did it. So, do you relate to option one, living for yourself? Or maybe you relate to option two, trying to save yourself. Option three is the best option, and that's surrender. Surrender. Sometimes you have to do this over and over again. I gave my life to Christ. I surrendered my life to Christ November 29, 2006. In that moment, I went from death to life, lost to found. But I have to surrender to him daily to remind my spirit, my soul, my brokenness, who's in charge and who's responsible for all of this. A verse that's in Galatians that has been so anchoring to my own spiritual life is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. If you surrender to life in the Spirit, you're not going to do all that crummy stuff. And what is the fruit of this sort of life of surrendering to the Spirit? Anyone have a guess? The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look at that list. Does anyone in this room, say amen if this is you, does anyone in this room need more love? Does anyone need more joy? Peace? Patience? Kindness? Goodness? Faithfulness? Gentleness? Self-control? You're not going to do it from striving. You're going to be doing it from surrendering to the Holy Spirit. I love the word fruit because it's coming from a thing. You can't drum up fruit. You can submit and He can produce fruit. God isn't trying to make you more impressive. He's trying to make you more like Jesus. So my favorite author is Bob Goff. So we're going to jump to option 1, 2, and 3. If you're living for yourself, you're going to end up empty. If you're trying to save yourself, you're going to end up exhausted. But option 3, if you surrender, like Paul is reminding the Galatian church, you're going to end up alive. Sound good? So, there's going to be people up front in response that would love to pray with you, if that's you, who need to stop trying to save yourself. If you have been trying to save yourself and you want to totally relent and surrender to Jesus, there's people here that would love to talk to you. If you have been trying to save yourself, I want to pray with you right now. We don't have time to do all the prayers that I would love, but I really feel led to pray for those who've been trying to save themselves, who've been ultimately entering back into slavery. It's like you got out of handcuffs, but every time you start trying to be a Christian, it starts pulling on handcuffs again. Numbers 11, 4, and 5 talk about the Israelites who left Egypt. You guys know the story of Moses? Yeah? They left Egypt and they started wandering. They were in freedom. You guys know that? The Israelites were in freedom. They were not yet in the promised land, but they were in freedom. But in Numbers 11, they start grumbling. And they start dreaming. In Numbers 11, 4, and 5, they have this line that says, "Oh, the fish in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic." They're literally free, but they're longing for the snacks in slavery. They're free. They are no longer making pyramids, being beaten by slave drivers. But because it was seemingly easier in slavery, they start dreaming of the snacks. Some of you guys are living a life that you could live in freedom, but you keep on dreaming of the snacks in slavery. Oh, the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics. Maybe it's the girls, the boys, the things I could look at, the selfishness I could indulge. Those are just snacks in slavery. Don't go back to slavery. They're lesser things. So if you want to stop trying to live for yourself, I would love to pray with you. I would love to introduce you to Jesus, but I want to really specifically pray for those who are living in slavery, trying to save themselves. If that's you, would you stand and pray with me? If that's you, it's going to take one person being bold. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone want to borrow courage? He doesn't want you to live in slavery. Who cut in on you? So Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would enjoy the fullness of the gospel. I pray for those who are trying to live for themselves, I pray that you would woo and win their hearts right now, that they would relent for trying to live for themselves and give their lives to you, Jesus. But for these specific brothers and sisters who've been trying to save themselves, ultimately drinking the Kool-Aid of religion and not enjoying the feast with Jesus, I pray that you would lead them to repentance and they would live in the fullness of what you've offered them through the cross. I pray that this Holy Week would be different than any other Holy Week, that they would really celebrate and enjoy, stop striving, earning, comparing and competing. I pray for a fresh baptism of your love over him, over them, a fresh baptism of freedom. I thank you for the letter to the Galatian church. Would we not need a letter like that anytime soon? Because we're living in freedom for what you did on the cross. Jesus, we love you, and we say this in your name. Amen.